Where are you now? Are you moving well, or are you still moving very slowly?
I'm heading for dinner. I'm on Woodbury Road.
Ah, so you did very well. All right, not bad. Yeah, no, I'm going to go down and grab a cup of coffee, so I'll catch you. What's the dinner tonight?
I think we're doing Chinese. I'll talk to you in a few minutes if you get back before I leave. Would you be too CSE?
Okay, Andy.
82, UZT.
Wow. Oh, good evening. This is 82, UZT from WB2ZSE.
Good evening. Come back with your call again, please.
WB2ZSE, Zulu Sugar Echo.
W2SE, gotcha. Name headed home from Gulf Hawkwind. Traffic was pretty reasonable tonight.
You're sort of emulating what I'm doing. Yeah, I started out in Long Island City right off the expressway. And I stayed with the service route until Willis Avenue. It worked out fairly well. So, it's Whiskey Bravo 2, Zulu Sugar Echo. Not old enough to be a W2.
I was getting a lot of noise there.
I've only got a couple of minutes before I'm going to take you to the restaurant. Hold on one second. What do you mean, CSE? Let's see if this works any better. J2UZT, WB2CSE. I am going in on the east end now.
Yeah, that sounds a little better.
Change to the Selden repeater. It's from this location. Well, I'm going to sneak out of here. About 30 seconds from the parking lot. B2ZSE, I'll be back later.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu N2VH, V-Mobile listening. November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile listening. November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile listening.
KA2YHY Mobile listening.
N2VH Z Mobile listening.
N2VH, here is KA2YHY, name here is Steve.
KA2YHY, Steve, nice to meet you. Name here is Ken. Let me give you my call sign again. It's November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu. Very High Zeppelin. Easy to remember that way. Very High Zeppelin. VHZ. Yep, I'm in 103 degrees. 104 degrees. Correction. 104 where I'm at right now. I'm in South Dakota. I'm on making a turn here. I'm in an unusual place. I'm in the reservation. I'm in the Pine Ridge Reservation. I don't know if you ever heard of it. In the Ogallala Sioux Lakota Reservation right here. Headed up to Rapid City. I'm cutting through the reservation. I live in the reservation. I'm going up to Rapid City. Do some food shopping. I'm going to the town of Ogallala, the little village of Ogallala, as opposed to Ogallala. It says Ogallala in the middle of the reservation. Headed up through Red Shirt towards the Badlands, just skirting the Badlands of South Dakota, and going up to do some food shopping here after work. It's 4:49 in the afternoon, almost.
All right, very good, Ken. Full copy, no problems. 104 degrees, wow. I'm here on Long Island, the home of the Limark repeater. where it is 91. At least that's what it says on my car at the moment, 91. It's a far cry from 104, but we've got very high humidity, so it is uncomfortable, but 104 is still 104. I don't know where the reservation is, but I know where the vicinity of the Badlands are in that area. And what does a two-ball doing in that area?
Ask the question again. It's interesting. I hope it's interesting. I'll give you a funny answer. What does a what? What does a two call? I actually live in Fort Washington. I know the island pretty good. I work for the United States government. I work on a government installation I work in a facility here on the, I think that's what you might ask, on the reservation here. And I, my duty station is on the reservation. And I have housing here on my duty station. So they have a place for us to live. And I have what they call government quarters. And it's interesting. It's a very big reservation. It's 3 million acres. You might know it by the name of Wounded Knee. Wounded Knee is one of the villages here where the United States Army massacred many people 100 years ago. And then they had a protest back in the 70s, and there was a shooting of the FBI and the Indians and so forth, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on here, but, you know, it's a pretty cool place to be. It's pretty laid back. People are beautiful. Native Americans, you get to know them. They are the most beautiful people. They bear no harm to nobody. They mean no harm. And they only want peace and love, believe it or not, you know? And they just want to be left alone, but it seems like everybody wants to poke the bear, you know? So I have a sworn allegiance to the United States and to protect, you know, and defend, and he's a part of the people I help out. So I'm an agent for the government, and that's what I do here. And here I am, and I got two little kids who live here with me, my daughters, but they're not with me right now. I'm in the car alone going up to Rapid City, South Dakota to go buy some food to put in the house. Back to you.
All right, very good, Ken. Yeah, that was the question, and you gave me the answer. I think we may have worked before some time ago. I seem to remember somebody driving through that area. Could have been Nebraska. I don't know if you get to Nebraska at all, but... could very well have been. But yeah, I've heard of Wounded Knee. I don't know the full story, but certainly I've heard of several things that went on there with that name. And, you know, we're so used to it here on Long Island, you know, you can almost walk to about anywhere and get groceries and food and whatnot. You've got quite a lengthy trip to do that. That's something that takes a bit of getting used to. Although once you leave the metropolitan area, I guess it's kind of similar. Anyway, Ken, I'm getting home. My commute is very short today, and now I'm going to say 73, and hopefully that heat will back off in the coming days, and things will be a little bit better. N2BHZ. K-A-2-Y-H-Y, and I'll be clear after your final. 7-3, Ken.
W-2-O-S-R.
I guess we lost him, Rob.
Yeah, I've been out in that area. I was just going to ask him a question. I'm just wondering if the reservation is for the Lakota Indians.
Yes, it is. He did mention that earlier in the QSO. Got to go. K-A-2-Y-8-Y-7-3, Rob.
All right, take care. 7-3-W-2-O-S-R.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile, returning. Okay, this is November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile, listening.
Line. by Mark Infonet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
WA2CDL, N2MIN.
Now, how did you know that I was listening to you? WA2CDL, how you doing there, Art?
We're doing good. I heard you this morning on 3805. I was calling you and I was wound up talking to Perry.
3805, okay. Yeah, I forgot where I went. Where did I go? I went to, I forget what frequency I went to.
3805.
Then I went somewhere else. I went down to 3704.
That's above my pay grade at the moment.
There's a bunch of guys that hang out over there.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear you. I was on the computer, and I turned on K3FEF in Pennsylvania, and that's where I heard you. So I came down here and got on the radio. You do anything with that radio? Just curiosity.
No. No, it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not even sure what I'm going to do with it.
Oh, okay. Just curious. What's going on? Let's see. What are you doing with that Viking 500?
I don't have a Viking. I have a Valiant. I wish I had a 500.
I thought I saw a 500 over there in the back of the garage.
No, that's not a 500. That's a Valiant. I think it's a Valiant 2.
Okay, what's the difference between Valiant 1 and 2? No 160?
You know, I'm not sure. I actually have not made the comparison. But the 500 is a lot more power, as you know. I don't remember. You know, it's been so long.
Alrighty, just curious. Probably it's... It doesn't have 11 meters or 160 on it. That might be the difference. You're not making a repeater. N2MIN.
Copy. I got to take care of some stuff. There was another station, but it was all noise. I did not hear any audio. But I know somebody was trying to get in. All right. Oh, and I'll talk to you. Maybe I'll catch you tomorrow morning.
What frequency?
Can you go to 3704?
Yeah, but I can only listen there. Told you, it's above my pay grade.
Where was I? 38? Oh, I was, yeah. All right, 3805. I'll catch you there.
All right. That other station out there, you're not making a repeater. I don't know whether you can hear me. N2MIN.
How about that?
All right, Andy. WA2CDL, N2MIN. Talk to you later.
Okay, the station did say, how about now, but it's extremely noisy. I could just about hear what he said. I'm going to leave the call. See you later, WA2CDL.
This is KC1, Papa Kilo Alpha, calling KC2, Lima Tango Whiskey.
KC1 Lima Tango Whiskey, KC1 Papa Kilo Alpha, you're coming in a little broken at the moment.
CHC Mobile listening. N2VHC Mobile listening.
Whiskey calling KC-1 Papa Kilo Alpha, over.
This is KC-1 Papa Kilo Alpha to KC-1 Lima Tango Whiskey.
I read you loud and clear, Nick. Can you hear me? KC-1 LCW.
Unable to connect my local app radio.
Can you repeat that? You broke off mid-sentence. No, you cut off there, but I think I know what you mean. I could hear the echo link, the tones coming over though, so something you were doing was working.
Did you hear the DTMF tones come through?
Not the tones, just the little courtesy when, I think that's when the echo link disconnects, it does a little series of beeps, but no DTMF.
Via echo link to this repeater, so it might have been something there.
Maybe, although it was very frequent, you know.
Yes, yeah, I was not able to transmit. There's a lot of noise coming through on the repeater.
Definitely opened something though, because that time there was actually static coming through.
Alright, I'm going to disconnect from my Echolink node here and sign off. This is KC-1 Papa Kilo Alpha clear.
KC-1 LCW clear.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL.
Papa.
And WJ2B. There was a station.
KD2KNH.
ZVT.
KD2QEF. Good evening, Harry.
KD2NFJ.
We'll have our picnic at the Page State Park website probably later today. In any way pressured to do anything that you're not ready to do. So whether we have... And that's really just it. Have a great week.
1D or 1E to please let me know that you'd be willing to a short... Hoping to be able to... At 8:30 on this repeater. Anything computer-related, questions are going on. Once again,
Mark, son, Ken,
anything.
K2KND.
K2KND. Richie, go ahead with your traffic.
So, George, we still have that Yaesu 757, and, you know, I'd rather give somebody in the club an opportunity to buy it before it goes up on an eBay or QTH.com. We take $300 for it. It's in working condition. It's in very good condition. It's what we have used for many years at Field Day, and we'll even throw in a power supply with it, so that's an exceptionally good deal. And, as I said, that would be $300. Again, I have a lot of tubes, but it's very hard. There's so many tubes. I don't know. It's hundreds. It's easier if anybody needs any tubes to send me their list, and I will try to go through the tubes and pull out what's there. This is all basically new old stock. Some of it is actually new stock. And I know there are some transmitting tubes there. I believe there's some 6146s. A's and B's, whatever. But just send me a list of the tubes that you need, and I'll go through everything. And I think we've pretty much got rid of the wire that we had. We did pretty well with that. And we'll see if we can put some other things up next week. Hey, you can get me at k2knb@limeoff.org, particularly if you want to send in a list of tubes. k2knb@limeoff.org. Back to net, K2KNB. Katie, how are you? K2KNB.
How do I?
I'm not sure whether George is having his own interference locally, which he gets sometimes, or an equipment failure. Let me give him one more minute, and then we'll... have to close his net. Alright, I do think he's fine there, and again, I can't tell you what kind of interference he's getting at this moment. Alright, so let's, we'll close the Landmark Swap and Shop. I know he would thank everyone who signed in, both with a item and in support of the net. This net will be followed by the radio news line. And thank you to everyone for signing in. We'll see you all next week. The K2KNB.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2282 with a release date of Friday, July 23rd. 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio at the ready in flooded parts of Europe. Radio responds to Cuba's humanitarian crisis, and the FCC okays an experimental station on 40 megahertz. All this and more is Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2282 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Amateur Independence on the...
News and Bulletin Service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9TO.
Our top story takes us to Europe, where nations in the western part of the continent have suffered disastrous flooding. As Newsline went to production, amateur radio operators were on alert and awaiting word on possible deployment. Ed Durant, DD5LP, tells us more.
As record rainfall and some of the worst flooding in decades devastated an area in the west of Europe, amateur radio operators stood by to help. As the death toll rose and the search continued for those missing, Germany took the worst hit. Belgium, Luxembourg and the Netherlands suffered, with Belgium holding a national day of mourning on July 21st. In part of Belgium where water submerged an antenna vital for crisis communication, Hams stepped up to volunteer in three provinces. Meanwhile, as the European Civil Protection was activated, the Dutch Amateur Radio Emergency Service, the Belgian Amateur Radio Emergency Service, and the Emergency Communications Unit of the DARC awaited word as to whether additional communications help would be needed. Greg Mossop, G0DUB, told Newsline in a recent email that Germany's deployment of soldiers to assist in relief efforts bolstered the Technische Hilfswerk, the nation's civil protection organization, which had thousands of volunteers working to remedy the physical damage. Greg told Newsline that the situation continued to evolve as bursting rivers damaged power and telecommunications networks along with bridges. An update on the IARU Region 1 website said, quote, "This emergency will last for some time as infrastructure is repaired and the threat from damaged dams and more rainfall is reduced," end quote. Meanwhile, in southeast, water flowing down from the Alps stirred mudslides and overflowing rivers, causing yet another disaster area. Casualties were reported to be less than those affected in the northwest. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Amateurs are helping train additional volunteers to respond to their region's disasters. John Williams, VK4JJW, brings us up to date.
A new educational partnership has been formed between civil defense officials in coastal West Bengal, India, and amateurs in the West Bengal Radio Club. Hoping to improve communications and emergency response following intense cyclones and other disasters in remote regions, officials have asked for training from the Indian Academy of Communication, the HAM Club's educational wing. Going online with the Google Meet platform, HAMS will train a total of more than 90 civil defence volunteers. Osipati Mondal, VU3ODQ, will lead the instruction under the guidance of the Academy's Secretary, Rinku Nag Biswas, VU2JFB. Officials decided that HAM radio training is essential for civil defence volunteers after previous efforts by the West Bengal Club proved invaluable in earlier disasters. West Bengal Club Secretary Ambarish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, said eventually there'll be more than 90 students. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
The ongoing humanitarian crisis in Cuba is gaining a worldwide voice for the remainder of July through special event station W4C. Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, has that story.
Radio operators from around the U.S. have been on the air as W4C since July 19th and will continue through to the end of the month calling QRZ and carrying word of the economic and medical challenges in Cuba. The special event, SOS Cuba, has been organized by Florida Ham Alexander Valladares, W7HU, who was formerly a citizen of Cuba. Alex's YouTube channel, W7HU Alex, will be live streaming as he operates Whiskey for Cuba. Hams have been reporting difficulty making contact on the air with amateurs in Cuba, indicating widespread jamming. The special event will carry a message of support for those struggling on the island. Alex writes on the station's QRZ page, quote, "Instead of taking to the streets, we realize that our efforts will be more efficiently utilized by getting on the air and making a special event out of it," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW.
Meanwhile, the FCC has reportedly begun an investigation into the jamming of radio signals on a number of frequencies on the 40-meter band based on complaints from amateurs who say they have been unable to communicate with radio operators in Cuba. Motherboard and other media outlets are reporting that FCC field agents are becoming involved, as is the U.S. State Department. The investigation is looking into a possible connection between the jamming and the Cuban government in Havana. A long-running battle over an amateur radio tower has ended with a positive outcome for one ham in the U.S. Ken Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us why this Massachusetts ham is so happy.
The on-again, off-again amateur radio tower project outside the Massachusetts home of Mikhail Filipov, KD1MF, is on again. A judge in the city of Framingham has ruled that the local zoning officials were wrong last year when they revoked the project's building permit. The zoning board said at the time the tower did not comply with zoning requirements and could not go forward. But on July 14th, the judge said the ham radio towers are among those structures exempt from such requirements, provided the project has a building permit. As Newsline reported more than a year and a half ago, Mikhail and his wife, Galina, had received the city permit for building the 80-foot structure despite neighbors' challenges that it would damage their property values and become an eyesore. Mikhail had already poured the tower's foundation, but agreed to halt the project until the zoning dispute could be resolved. That appears to have happened. Writing on the webpage of the ARRL's Eastern Massachusetts section, Mikhail's attorney, Fred Hopengarten, K1VR, declared, quote, "Mr. Filipov is one very happy radio amateur," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the pond, an amateur in Inc. is at odds with local officials over a retractable antenna mast, something he had installed 6 years ago.
Wiltshire Council rejected the application of Tidworth amateur Bob Coleman, G0WYD, calling it that the structure in his back garden unneighbourly and incompatible with the area. Bob told the Andover Advertiser newspaper, quote, "Due to various spinal surgeries, I am unable to play the sports I used to love. Radio communication is one of the few hobbies I can do, and it plays a large part in keeping me mentally healthy, especially over the last year," end quote. Neighbors had filed complaints about the mast far back to 2019, leading the council planning officials to inform that he needed permission. According to the newspaper, he applied, but the forms were reportedly not valid, and so he reapplied. The newspaper story noted that neighbors understand his love of amateur radio, but report that the antenna reaches from his property into theirs, and they worry about a storm knocking it over. Bob has the option to appeal against the decision. For Amateur Radio News, I'm Jerry Boot, G4NJH.
The FCC has given the go-ahead to an amateur in Georgia who is operating an experimental station on 40 megahertz. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, brings us those details.
For the next 2 years, anyone tuning to the frequency 40.662 megahertz is likely to hear a 2-minute weak signal propagation reporter transmission coming from an omnidirectional antenna in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States. Experimental station WL2XUP went on the air in mid-July under an experimental license granted through July 1st, 2023 by the FCC. Gregory Holcomb, NI4Y, who was assigned a new call sign, will be conducting tests on the band, and his 2-minute transmissions occur every 10 minutes. He is permitted a maximum output of 400 watts, effective radiated power. Details about the station were reported in the EI7GL blog, where the author John wrote, quote, "The really big challenge now is trying to raise awareness amongst the amateur radio community in North America and making them aware of the 40 megahertz band and the activity on it," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W4EDP and N4LMC repeaters in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. local time. The commercial TV industry has retired the last of its transmitters employing the original system used for black and white and early color TV. Jack Parker, W8ISH, gives us the details.
Those of us who love our straight keys, our boat anchors, our tube radios, and other parts of early ham radio have it easy. We can still use the technology from which our have sprung. Television, however, recently hit a milestone in the United States where the industry retired the last few remaining commercial transmitters that used the system developed by the National Television Standards Committee. The NTSC system, which first defined black and white transmissions and later color, generated pictures comprising 525 lines displayed at nearly 30 frames per second. This produced the familiar analog TV broadcast that delivered programming to American audiences for more than 70 years. Now, in an age of digital and HD TV, NTSC screens have gone dark. The Hackaday blog, which reported the development in its July 14th post, wrote, quote, "We have to admit being sorry to see the passing of analog TV. It was an intricate and fascinating system that provided a testbed for plenty of experimentation back in the day. Perhaps as we see it slip over the horizon, it's worth pondering whether its digital replacement will also become anachronism in an age of on-demand streaming TV." End quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH, signing off.
The ARRL's headquarters is back in business. Cell MB KB3TZD gives us the details on the ceremonial reopening of the doors.
The doors are open again at Newington, Connecticut, home to the American Radio Relay League. The ARRL hosted a rededication ceremony there on July 15th to coincide with a return to business as usual as pandemic restrictions have eased. Members of the ARRL's board of directors were in town from around the country to attend board and committee meetings and were present at the ceremony. The league shut its building at the closure of the day on March 23, 2020, in response to the governor's executive order for businesses. It was just days after the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 to be a global pandemic. Many ARRL staffers worked remotely instead. Other services, such as the W1AW Bulletin and the Code Practice transmissions, continued. ARRL CEO David Minster, NA2AA, said he was pleased to see the league's services and staffing bounce back. He said, quote, "This speaks to the resilience and dedication of our staff, board members, and volunteers," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cell MB, KB3-TZD.
In the world of DX, the Willis Island D-Expedition plan for November has been canceled. D-Expedition leader Tommy Horizakis, VK2IR, said the activation cannot go forward following the spread of COVID-19 to four Australian states and a set of new rules from the Coral Island Management Authority banning the installation of any structures on the island. The de-expedition would have coincided with 100 years of the weather observation station being on Willis Island. Bo, OZ1DJJ, will be active from Tasiak Island as OX3LX from July 28th through August 13th. Bo will be on HF, but his main bands will be 6 meters and 4 meters. Send QSLs via OZ0J. Look for Uris, YL2GM, and Zidonis, YL2GN, to be on the air from the Estonian island of Hiiumaa during the RSGV IOTA contest. Be listening July 23rd through the 25th. QSL via their home call signs. Phil, M7CBK, is using the call sign ZC4CBK while operating at the Akrotiri British Sovereign Base Area in Cyprus. Be listening to him through October. He'll be operating on FT4 and FT8 on 20 meters. According to his QRZ page, he will also be on 2 meters in the hopes of using the FM and D-Star repeaters in the Trudeuse Mountains. Send QSLs to EB7DX. Lawrence, HB9HKE, is active from Iceland as TF/HB9HKE through August 7th. Be listening on the HF bands, QSL via Logbook of the World, but also on QRZ and EQSL. For all of our amateur radio experiences, we've all had our high points. For our final story this week, we visit a high point that's at an elevation of 11,724 feet. Mike Askins, KE5CXP, takes us there.
The Colorado site is called Sergeant's Mesa, and on July 17th, it became the scene of many firsts. It was the first time SOTA activation for 12 members of the San Luis Valley Amateur Radio Association, K0SLV, and the first-time activation of the summit, which carries the code W0C/LG-027. Like the summit, the ham's hopes were high as they started out under blue sky. Club President Bob Gailey, NO1PB, told Newsline that the location is a place that feels like hallowed ground, a fact that further elevated the purpose of their visit. A polished granite monument there called Soldier Stone honors the soldiers and civilians from Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, and elsewhere who fought alongside American GIs during the Vietnam War. Bob, a military veteran himself and now a pastor, made sure the activators shared a formal moment of respect and prayer before hiking a mile or so to the activation zone, where a total of 8 operators got busy calling QRZ. According to the SOTA database, the activation ended successfully with 61 contacts. The activation was a high point, capping a day of first for this club, which is less than 2 years old. It held added meaning, too, for hams such as Rick, KF0DCY, who had recently become licensed. Bob said a special QSL card will mark the occasion with a group picture taken in front of the monument, a shining symbol of valor tucked away quietly in a national forest high in the Rocky Mountains. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askin, KE5CXP.
With thanks to the Andover Advertiser, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the BBC, Bob Gailey, NO1PB, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, DXWorld.net, the EI7GL blog, the Framingham Source, Greg Mossop, G0DUB, Hackaday, IARU Region 1, QRZ.com, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Summits on the Air, SOTA Atlas, ShortwaveRadio.de, Ted Randall's QSL Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. You can write to us at newsline@arnewsline.org. For more information or to support us, visit our official website at arnewsline.org. Be sure to follow some of these stories as they get a more in-depth look on the YouTube channel of 100 Watts and a Wire. Search for the video segment with the title, Two Stories. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2000.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
KD2OGB mobile test.
I guess everybody's sleeping, George.
Yeah, I know exactly what's going on. It's not my equipment. It's right after at 9 o'clock when you hear net complete. The input in Glen Oaks is attenuated.
All right. And what can you do?
Stop doing the net.
All right. So what else is new?
I went back on my records, and I looked at the exact timing of it. It's precise.
Kind of strange.
I'm still here. I'm headed back from doing my shopping.
Sometimes history tells the story. I mean, we don't have to sit here and do all kinds of analysis.
But we still have daylight out here in Rapid City, South Dakota. It's 8:30 in the evening, and this is N2VHZ Mobile. Headed south from Rapid City, South Dakota, back to the Pine Ridge Reservation.
Hello, Ken. Hello again. Well, water your horses and keep that covered wagon buttoned up, and safe trip back.
Man, I bought some nice steaks, man. I bought some beautiful, beautiful steaks. And I bought $100 worth of steak, man. Nice and excellent. 1.5-inch cut. So I'm going to have some, you know, I got some people coming around. So my brother's coming in from New York. Going to hook it up nice. So I got them in the cooler in the back, man. And I got a few other things I picked up. So I'm smuggling them back to the reservation. Hopefully I can run the gauntlet and not get pierced by any arrows. I'll keep the wagon buttoned up real good. Back to you, Charlie.
Well, I don't want to cut short. They were friendly Indians. I'm assuming Hakawi. George.
Ribeye.
I think we lost George. He loves to discuss food. Let's see, $100. That'll buy you 4 skimpy little 8-ounce steaks here.
The plane just landed somewhere off of the coast of Alaska.
NY2H.
Well, hello, Lou. We've got Ken on Echolink out in Nebraska or up in those parts.
Wish if I have it. Yes, Ken is, he's east of the Black Mountains and he's a little west of the Badlands. Wow. And hello, George. George, I'll turn it over to you, then turn it over to Ken. Ken, why don't you pick it up?
Fulfill my responsibility and duty and gladly do it. I am at this moment piercing the Black Hills of South Dakota, headed south. I am headed towards, I'm skirting the Badlands right now, heading towards the most southernmost part of the Badlands. It's an unusual area in South Dakota. I will not be entering Nebraska tonight. I will be staying specifically in South Dakota and going back to my humble retreat in the government quarters provided to me by Uncle Sam and my duty station at the Pine Ridge Reservation, located in the sovereign nation of the Lakota people. So, yeah, it's interesting. I went and spent, yeah, you got to spend money when you buy meat nowadays, but the good steaks of everywhere else is 16. It went up in price ridiculous. It went from $12 to $17 a pound. But I went to this, you know, shopping place that was only $12 a pound. So, you know, okay. Everything went up. Gas went up to over $3 a gallon. Gas, $3.30 a gallon out here. And they're using ethanol gasoline on top of it all. So terrible, terrible. Very bad, very expensive. So we're trying to stay low here, stay under the radar, so to speak. Trying to break out the horses out here on the reservation. So good thing I don't have a commute. All I do is drive to work, which is about a quarter mile. It's like not even that far away from where I live, so not a big deal. Okay, very good with that. And today, wrap it up with mine, just at 106 degrees. Earlier today, and right now it is 80 degrees outside, 79, 80 degrees outside at 8:40 in the evening. But it was 106 earlier tonight. Very, very, very hot. Didn't feel that bad, though. Let me hand it over to Charlie for his comments.
Well, I had heard that they were getting some really high temperatures out your way. And I know water is also a problem out that way. So, sure, not government water, though. Anyway, Ken, always good talking with you. And Yeah, I know you're enjoying it. Enjoy those steaks, enjoy your company. That should be great. I'll turn it over to Lou.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Sounds really good. So everybody's going to have a good time when they go there and visit you. Anyway, you can look up my old friend Rocky Raccoon in the Black Mountain Hills of Dakota. He was a young man, now he's probably old. Give it a little rest for Charlie, see if he jumps in again. If not, then can you pick up 7Y2H? I meant George. George.
I guess we lost George temporarily. I didn't tell Ken about the 1,500-pound bull that got loose from the slaughterhouse. I don't know if it's ever been captured yet, but he would provide a lot of nice steaks.
I think the bull is on the lam. Ken?
Hey, you guys are good. I'm only here for a couple of years, man. I sit back there laughing, like you say, with Rocky Raccoon. That's absolutely true, man. It's like Sturgis, the motorcycle rally comes around every year, you know? So in all the Walmarts, they have that Sturgis t-shirt, you know? You don't even have to go to Sturgis to buy it. You can go to Walmart and buy the t-shirts, you know? But all these dudes come out of the Wolf Woodwork with the beards and the tattoos and the... You know, so I just went to buy some stuff tonight at Walmart and the Sam's Club. They don't have Costco out here. They got Sam's Club, you know? So you got to go up to Sam's Club to get your big stuff. And they're all in there, you know, with their beard and the bandanas and all, the jean thing going on. There with the full power Sturgis look, you know? Sturgis is right here up the street, you know? So pretty soon, next week, is going to be just bikes everywhere, everywhere. The hotels go up $35 a night, and I'm not joking when I say this, and they're allowed to do it for $350 a night, you know? Everything is ridiculously priced. That's why gasoline went up, they said. Everything is out of control now with prices. So you get the people with the RVs coming up here. They're pulling RVs with boats behind them, like double RVs. The bikers, everybody's coming up there with that look, you know, that Rocky Raccoon look, that old look. And it's just funny to sit there and watch it in front of your face. I like to go up to Sturgis in my car just to walk around. It's like a freak show, you know? These people really, it's like a freak show. They really put on a show, man, with that stuff. It's only an hour from where I live. Well, not really. It's 2 hours from where I live. Hour and a half. So it's kind of funny up here, you know? Just so you know, back to Charlie.
82KNH. Well, you enjoy it. Some people feel the same way about Walmart here. But we have Sam's Club and BJ's. I prefer the Sam's Club steaks. I don't know where they get them. Don't want to know where they come from. But steak is always a good thing. Lou?
NY2H. Yeah, we got a Sam's over here in Medford, and they, gasoline is $2.95. But I guess that rally is the same one they had last year where they called it a super spreader event or whatever. But yeah, they're having a good time. And they bring in a lot of money. So there you go. Ken?
Yeah, they have rodeos out here too, you know, these big high-fluting rodeos. Like, people come from all over the world, man, and go to these big rodeos. I try to avoid these gatherings right now because you don't know what's going on. They actually closed the reservation down for any... There's people that want to come into reservation, which is the poorest community in the United States. And people want to look at it, you wouldn't really know. You know, we've all seen poverty, you know. And it doesn't look all that bad compared to some places that we've all seen. I won't mention any places, you know. And not as bad as some places. But they say it's the poorest per capita places in America. And it is the poorest place, apparently, because there's no wealth to uplift it. So, okay, I'll go with that. But it doesn't look as bad as other places that we've all been to, so it's not all that bad. So there's a lot of tourism where people come through just to gawk at people. Like, they like zoo animals. They look at the Indians, you know, and they come through. And they close it. They put barricades up. You know, they're not allowing tourists to come through and gawk at the Indians anymore because of the coronavirus. So the reservation has been shut off from the outside world because they don't want the Delta variant. And they're giving $500 a head for anybody that wants to get the shot now. For any people that were on the fence, they're going to give $500 if they're 12 years and older. And they've got a whole bunch of people that were sitting on the fence, apparently. And they're getting the Indians, they're getting $500 a head to get the shots in the arm now. I thought you might find that interesting here. That's little insider information for you guys. Over to Charlie.
Well, not good enough that it's free. Now we got to pay people to take it. Everybody in the country will really be in trouble. And then again, the stimulus checks have already done. They've already put us... I don't want to get into politics. But, they're isolated. They should be pretty much protected anyway. But I guess if somebody from the outside brings something in... Yeah. Well, whatever way they can get people to take the jab... You know, I waited long enough since I didn't see anybody growing a second head, extra arms, and figure at 64, I'm not worried about what might happen. I'd rather have a shot. Lou?
And Y2H. Well, they pay him for taking the shot. They'll sell a pint of blood. They're making a lot of money coming and going. Crazy stuff. And Charlie, you'd be interested to know, I have the grid. Rapid City. I have the grid, but there's a lot of space around it, and you know, Ken's always saying how sparsely populated it is, and the dearth of hams, etc. So that's a little bit challenging. I'm trying to fill in the center of the country there, but this thing is addicting. I gotta have it going now, this grid tracker. So there goes the rest of my life tied up with this thing. Fantastic. It's like pop in bubble wrap. Anyway, yeah, listen out. I'm going to go back to my FT8 and FT4 and have some more fun. You guys take care. Ken, good eating. Good eating with those steaks. Make my mouth water. Charlie will catch you. And George, wherever you are, God bless you. This is NY2H. Ken?
Okay, so, well, my steaks are all ribeye, by the way. Only ribeye. No strip, nothing. Ribeye. They have those big tomahawks there, those called cowboy tomahawks. I'll probably get them when my brother comes to impress them. But, you know, they're mostly shell, mostly bones, big old tomahawks. Hey, so, talking about that, I gave up on FDA after a few thousand contacts, but... I'm in DN 82, right below Rapid City, Delta November 82, and I checked my, just the other day, I checked my log, and last year at this time, SDA is jumping. I put on the radio, and it was full power, you know, so I opened my log book up and seen last year I had hundreds of contacts on SDA, hundreds, but only just a few on sideband. And I was thinking about hooking FT8 up again, but I got really disappointed with it because it's pulling everybody off sideband, you know? So I said, I'm not going to contribute to the death of sideband. So I gave up on FT8 for a little while, you know? But, I'm surprised we haven't contacted each other, Lou, on FT8. Because I've got thousands of contacts on FT8, you know? And the year before and last year, right from the beginning, you know, all on 6 meters. So I'm going to operate from the reservation pretty soon. I'm going to be setting up a station there. I won't have a 6 meter antenna. It's on order. I won't have it until September, so I won't be on 6 meters until September. So it won't be till the winter when I'm going to be able to participate on 6. And it won't be FT8. It's going to be sideband, unfortunately. But, hey, you know, I'm a big sidebander guy, and I think SD8 is bringing around the death of sideband, man. But I'm surprised you haven't gotten me on SD8. 2020, 2019, and I think 2018. You know, thousands of contacts, man, but, yeah, Rapid City has a lot of people up there doing FDA. I never got anybody up there on FDA or on sideband. Always far away. So, Charlie, what's going on, man? Over to you.
Hey, Lou, if you're out there, 73, start chasing grids. You could be doing it for the next 100 years. And I just want to pause for a second and see if George is still out there. I guess not. Well, I think when things are slow, you can, you know, FDA, you can just jump on, make some contacts, and jump off. I don't think it's going to kill sideband. But if you haven't tried, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Grid Tracker. It's a great companion to FDA and makes it a lot more fun.
No, you never mentioned that. And there's only two of us in DN82. There's only two of us. And only one of us works FDA, and that was me. The other guy only does CW and voice, you know, as a thing. So I'm the only guy that does FDA in that grid. Now, the new grid that I'm going to, I can't quite remember the one I'm living in. I can't quite remember the number. But I think it's close. It's just south and to the right of the one of Rapid City, you know? I don't think it's the same one as Rapid City, though, the one I'm moving into. But anyway, yeah, maybe I will do FC8. I don't know. Maybe I'll give up and give in again, you know? But it's interesting because I'm going to put the radio right in the dining room, right on the dining room table, because ham radio is part of my family's life. I have to give in and admit it. It's not like some secret, you know, thing that I do in a closet. We put it right up in our faces, man. You know, it's part of our family entertainment, actually. Back to you.
82 KNH. Well, that's as it should be. And the more isolated you are, the more important it is. I know out west, you know, a lot more so. But, yeah, Grid Tracker is just great. It gives you a 3D map and many, many options, and I don't want to go on and on about it. Just give it a try, and you'll have a lot more fun. You'll be going between two screens.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And it's funny because I like working for the government, and I like this whole thing, like this weird lifestyle, like living in a weird place and living in a weird housing area with all my neighbors in different places. Like the guy across the street, Dr. Rohan, you know? He's a radiology doctor. I don't know what you call it, but he's from Queens. He's from New York, the same age as me. And he's from New York City, Queens, looks the same. We grew up one neighborhood apart. And he drops more F-bombs than I heard anybody in my life ever drop. I didn't think he was a doctor at first, you know? I thought he was lying to me. Until I went into his practice up there in the hospital and saw he really is a doctor. He's like, he has like a split personality. He's very serious at work. But then when he comes home, he's like, F this, F that. I'm like, wow, man. What kind of mouth does this guy have on him? You know, and then, you know, you got the psychiatrist to one side of me, lives over there, all wacky. Then you got this nurse practitioner who's a commander. She wears a naval uniform on the other side of me. I got this real good cast of characters, and none of them come from here. They all come from different parts of the world, the United States, right? It's a beautiful thing. It makes the Lions Nebraska look like dogs do, you know, because it's such a vibrant, active, like, little group of people, you know, in my little area where I live. I really enjoy it, you know. It's almost like living in New York. Back to you.
Well, like I said, I'm glad you're enjoying, and your family is as well. But I've got a sign, Ken. Getting kind of late. Got a couple things that I've got to do and start back up again. You know how it is here. I'll talk to you again soon. You have a good night. 82 KNH clear, 73, and I'll listen out.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm going to look into what you're saying about the grid tracker thing. I'm going to see what, how it looks. I'm going to try with my stuff at work and do what I can do and see what's going on. It sounds interesting. It sounds very interesting. Man, the moon is so bright here. It's almost like the sun is up, man. The moon is so bright I can't see because it's in kind of a weird angle. They open the sunroof here. It's like the sun is up, man. It's weird, man. Whoa, you need to pay attention to the road. It's bad when there's nobody on the road. You know, we don't have street lights. We don't have lighting out here, you know. It's just like a highway, and there's nobody ever on it, so you get kind of lackadaisy when driving. But it's almost like the sun is up, but it's the moon that's illuminating the street, you know. You don't even need to have your headlights on. It's so bright out here at night. It's the moon when it's full like that. I guess it's full, but I can't see it. All right. I'll say 70 degrees. I'll check that stuff out. Thanks for the tip. And thanks for keeping me company. I got about another 60 miles so I get home. Bye-bye. N2VH T-Mobile out.
Hi, Mark InfoNet. Tonight at 8:30. This is the W...
Time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater.
W2. W2.
KC2FYJ, here is W2TE. W2TE, listening.
W2BF. W2.
I'm temporarily incapacitated a little bit. I stubbed my toe and broke it a couple of days ago.
Oh, how'd you do that?
Well, I had a pair of flip-flops on and went into the kitchen to help my wife with something and whacked my toes into a table.